Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. It has been established that antipsychotic medications and benzodiazepines are often given to agitated patients in residential aged care facilities, perhaps more often than is ideal. Dr. Juanita Westbury from the Wiking Dementia Research and Education Centre at the University of Tasmania is the lead on a research project that is having success reducing the prescription of these drugs in 150 nursing homes using a six-month intervention involving audits, education and follow-up. Dr. Westbury is my special guest on the pod today. Tell me a little bit about why we prescribed antipsychotics and benzodiazepine in aged care facilities. What do we see as that as the purpose of that?
I'll go with each agent one at a time.
Sure.
Because they are different in some ways, but mm-hmm. similar in one particular effect, which is sort of their ability to calm and sedate people.
Yep.
But I think antipsychotics, they were developed originally for people with schizophrenia and severe mental illness. But we know in older people that they're used to treat behavioural and psychological symptoms. And they're symptoms such as agitation or delusions, and they occur very commonly in people with dementia. Now, with benzodiazepines, they're different agents, and they're mainly used for insomnia or sleeping problems, but also anxiety. And these symptoms are very common in aged care. Again, we also know they're being prescribed to treat agitation in people with dementia as well.
Are they easy to prescribe? Is it the easy solution when somebody's agitated and not sleeping or whatever? Is that the easy way to calm them down?
It's very quick. It's probably, the guidelines and most, people who are trying to advocate for, appropriate treatment of older people would say, look, let's look at the contributing factors first.
Mm.
Have they been napping all day? Have they been having, 8 or 9 cups of tea or coffee, which is sort of sometimes what can happen with older people?
Yeah.
Or, are the lights on, talking about sleep, are the lights on constantly? Is there too much noise? It's certainly easier to give them a tablet and quicker and effective to start with in the short term. But what we know is that when people take these sort of medications for a longer period of time, often for more than a couple of weeks, they don't work as well. And usually you've got to take a couple of tablets. And this sort of starts, what we call a bit of a dose escalation. And, people will need to take a couple of tablets to get the same effect.
And are we over-prescribing these drugs now in residential aged care?
Yes, in many homes.
Yeah.
And, this isn't new. This has been reported. I think one of the first studies was actually published by the MJA, by mm-hmm. Professor Snowden. And that was in the mid-90s. Similar sort of levels of use then. But the guidelines clearly state that these medications should be really used as second options after, non-drug strategies are tried. Things like providing activities in the home, exercise, working out what might be underlying the triggers or factors that might contribute to the behaviour. But, our research just recently, which was conducted in 2014 to 2016, we showed that on average about 22% of residents were taking antipsychotics every day, so they were prescribed that. So that's more than 1 in 5 residents. And a similar proportion were actually taking benzodiazepines, and that was regularly every day.
Yeah.
And we also know they're taking them for longer than guidelines recommend. And with benzodiazepines taken at higher doses than what is recommended as well for older people.
Now, you mentioned the dose escalation problem.
With benzodiazepines mainly.
Right. What are the other problems with long-term use of these drugs? Why do we need to get them off these drugs if we can?
Well, firstly, evidence has shown that they're not particularly effective. Looking at the two classes separately, we know that with antipsychotics, about 1 in 5 will benefit. So, people who are agitated, they've done large studies and large analyses of various studies and grouped them together. On average, we know that about 20% of people with agitation taking an antipsychotic will benefit. The thing about benzodiazepines are a little different. They work very well to start with, but the thing is, after a period of time, like 2 to 4 weeks, they lose their effectiveness, and that's the problem. And, you know, you have to give a little more to get the same effect. But if you try taking benzodiazepines away, often you get a real exacerbation of the original symptom.
Right.
So people have a lot of trouble sleeping, or an exacerbation, or a worsening of their anxiety or agitation as well.
Are there any other adverse effects of these drugs?
Yeah, the thing about older people is they don't really handle or metabolise them, these drugs, as well as younger people do.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem with antipsychotics in older people is, you know, especially with dementia, it worsens confusion. It can cause movement disorders, falls. But over the last 10 years or so, there's been quite a bit of research really linking their use to higher rates of stroke,
yeah,
higher rates of heart attack, and also death. Now, benzodiazepines, they also cause confusion, you know, because of their sedating effects. They increase the risk of falls, increase the risk of pneumonia. But over the past 5 years or so, they've been linked to a higher rate of developing conditions like dementia. That's still highly contentious.
You are the lead on the Reducing Use of Sedatives project, otherwise known as REDUCE. Tell us a little bit about REDUCE and how you went about applying it.
REDUCE, really quite old now. It started about 10 years ago. We had a pilot trial in Tasmania, and we found that when the program was run, it effectively reduced the rate of antipsychotics and benzodiazepines. And what we did for the purposes of this program is that we grouped these two agents. We called them sedatives because of their sedating effects in older people. The project was, as I said, run it with a small pilot in Tasmania. It was in 2008. And then it was funded by the Australian government for a national expansion. And that was in 2013. And we delivered it, instead of 13 homes, we expanded it to 150 homes around the country.
Tell us about the details of the program. What does it involve? What's it targeted at?
It's basically a structured program. And it's basically a series of strategies, and it's what we call quality use of medicine strategy. So the program starts, we audit the use in each home. And the thing is that a lot of people and a lot of homes don't really know how much of these sort of medications they're using. And often when we gave them the results, they'd be quite surprised and challenge it. And then
yeah,
when they actually thought of who was taking it and grouped it together, they realised their use was probably higher than they thought it was. So what we did then is that with that result, we presented it at an educational meeting at the home, and everybody in the home was invited. So we invited nursing staff, carers, people, you know, even some people who did cleaning duties or whatever, because we thought it was a whole home program. And at this meeting, we not only presented the results, but we tried to raise awareness, and we provided education about side effects. And we also tried to really stimulate discussion about whether these drugs were worthwhile or not, or whether the staff thought they were effective, but also sort of trying to note what were the downsides of using these medications. And then finally, after the medication session was run, we tried very hard to have a pharmacist, one of the nursing staff, and then a GP talk about the medication use of particular residents who were taking antipsychotics and benzodiazepines. So that was the program. So audit, followed by education, and then followed by that targeted review. And we repeated the whole process again 3 months later, had another educational session. And it was interesting because the second time round, a lot of the homes didn't want to talk about the case study that we provided, but they wanted to talk about their own residents.
Cool.
Which was great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we could stimulate discussion and sort of group working. And, you know, we had feedback from people that it was the first time that they had different nursing staff sort of get together to really problem solve and talk about, you know, individual residents, which was great. And then what we did after the second lot of this cycle of improvement activities, then we did a final measure at 6 months and then reported to the home, you know, how they went.
Dr. Juanita Westbury is the co-author of new research published by the MJA called Reducing Antipsychotic and Benzodiazepine Prescribing in Residential Aged Care Facilities. That research can be found at mja.com.au and is open access. What were the major findings? Were there concrete reductions in prescribing?
We were very pleased with the results. Firstly, we were really overwhelmed by our response from the aged care industry. When we sort of put out a call for recruitment, and we did that through some major advocacy bodies, LASA, Leading Aged Care Services, and ACSA as well, we had a target of 150 homes, but we had over 300 homes expressing interest to take part, so which is great. But what we found is that after the program, when we grouped all 150 homes together, we had an overall reduction in the use of antipsychotics by about 13%. And our reduction in benzodiazepine use was actually greater, and it reduced by 21%. And we were really encouraged by this, because we got better results in our expansion than we did in our original Tasmanian pilot trial.
What is replacing the use of these drugs in terms of the care of these older people?
Interesting you say that, because that was one of our outcome measures, because there have been previous interventions, especially in the States and also in Scandinavia as well, where what's happening is that a particular drug use is targeted, like antipsychotics, for instance, but then when you measure the use of other agents, there's substitution practices. What I have found in the US just recently as well is that there's a large increase in the use of anticonvulsant drugs. They're drugs that are used to treat epilepsy, but they've got strong sedating effects. In Australia, what we've found as well is that some of the antidepressants, there's one called mirtazapine, for example, we know that the use of that has gone up. So we tried very hard to monitor the use of these sort of potential substitute drugs, but we didn't find any increase in those drugs. So what we actually found was a slight decrease, which is great, and which we think that indicates, a greater review of these sort of medications. So we were hearing from staff that they were really trying to work out what was underlying, behaviour before they rushed to the tablet. And we're also hearing from a lot of the nursing staff that they were very active in reviewing, the use of medications, whether they were effective or not, and trying actively to reduce. We hope, and we think that, they were using sort of other strategies instead of the drugs, and they were actively trying to review if the use was still needed in some residents. In previous research and a lot of published research and some of the research that I did at the beginning of when this project was first developed, I really think that there is this belief amongst a lot of the staff, the care staff, the nursing staff, but also amongst health professionals as well, that these drugs are more effective than they actually are. And there is a good intention that, people need to be calm, and that actually improves quality of life. But this is what we're really trying to challenge with the project. Actually, does it really improve quality of life? Yes, they might be calm, but they're sitting on a chair not being able to relate to people. Yeah. They're dozing most of the day. Often we know that they're not eating as much. We know that they're much more prone to infection because they're not, exercising as much. So yes, I think that was what we were trying to do. But I think generally there is this underlying belief that, medication is highly effective, but we were really trying to challenge that and just saying, okay, is it better, to calm someone down completely or shut them down, to an effect, or is it better for them to still be able to function and relate? It's that balance.
What's the next step? What do you hope to do with Reduce next?
I'm actively trying to promulgate our results. We do know, I've just heard from the Department of Health that some of the educational materials will be available. I think they've got a central repository for anyone who wants to try to use them. But I think the thing about a program like ours, we audited and benchmarked. So, we were aware of general use across the country, and also we had people who facilitated the whole program. We trained the trainer, and there was sort of a general, I think, a collegiate aspect to the project where, we had a group of homes all being involved at the same time. And I think that was sort of part of the general success of it as well, that it was you know, an awareness project. I hope, you know, that it's able to be continued and especially offered to those homes that are identified as having high use or yes. an option for people who are, say, picked up during an inspection to say, look, you know, please, you know, have a go at this program and address it that way. But also we hope it's going to be generally available for aged care in the whole of Australia, really.
If you had a magic wand and you could fix yep. something immediately, what would it be?
I think it's really to raise awareness that these medications are not the answer, that yes, there are a group of people who they're entirely appropriate for, people who are acutely distressed and people yeah. who may, you know, be at risk of danger to themselves or for other people, you know, and also if someone is acutely anxious or, you know, is totally sleep deprived, yes, there's definitely an indication. But, you know, I think the general thing we were hearing was that people, once they're put on them, they aren't regularly reviewed. They tend to stay on them. So yeah. I think my magic wand or whatever would be just to raise awareness that these drugs shouldn't be used continuously, shouldn't be used as much as they are, but to sort of keep them as, you know, all the guidelines really endorse just for use for, you know, as a second line option. I can never stick to one thing anyway, but I would say really staffing is a big problem, and it came up at nearly every aged care home yeah. that we went to, that there just isn't enough time or staff or allocation to really provide activities for residents, to really sort of have a program where in the single hours training that you give them, you know, as part of the project, that they say, we haven't had a chance to sort of sit and talk about each resident's problems with a group of staff. I think that really needs to be addressed. And just training about medication use, training about management of behaviours, I think that's something that, you know, really needs to be addressed, because, you know, in aged care we just have such a level of behavioural and psychological symptoms, and we don't really have the staff that are trained to deal with that. And I think that really is another reason why these medications are used at such a high level in some of the homes. What we did do as well as another part of evaluation is that we tracked those people at the home who were taking antipsychotics and benzodiazepines over the 6-month project. So we looked at the people who were taking them at the beginning, because we wanted to get a sense of you know, how often they were reviewed, with how often there were dose reductions. And with the project, we found that about 40% of people taking either antipsychotics or benzodiazepines, they had their dose either ceased outright
yes.
or reduced. And we actually found that they were more likely to have drugs ceased outright then the dose is reduced.
Okay.
And then we know that there's been some research, ordinary practice, and we know that without an intervention, that it's only about 5% of these medications that are altered. So, you know, we were really encouraged by that, because we really managed to increase the rate of review about tenfold, which was really good. And it shows it can be done.
Thank you, okay. Juanita. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.